Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends. Welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom and Raising Amazing. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her away to share them. Now, recently I was able to order MyLifeInABook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code Monica at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's MyLifeInABook.com and use code Monica for 10% off today. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited to be here with you for many reasons. One reason is that for the first time ever, I am doing a solo episode on video. So I have started to record my interviews on video. And if you didn't know, you can find them on YouTube. The last few weeks, I've been putting all of my interviews on YouTube. So if you like to watch and listen, that's the place to go. I'll have a link to that in show notes. But this week I'm solo and I'm just experimenting with just doing this all on my own in front of the camera. So if you're watching, hey, hope you enjoy this. And if you prefer to just listen, then you can continue as always. But this is also special because for the last year, at the end of each month, I have been sharing an episode, which is sharing highlights and nuggets, as I call them, from 1 to 2 chapters of my book, Raising Amazing, which came out in February of 2023. And today's episode wraps up the whole book because we are hitting chapter 14, the final chapter of Raising Amazing. And I'm planning to keep this pretty short and sweet. It's easy for me to say that and then I get carried away. But really, I'm just excited because this is a subject, a topic that I think is super important. And so I can't wait to share it with you and hopefully talk about some things that then you can talk about with your spouse, with your friends. I've encouraged you all to take these episodes into a small group setting, maybe get together, have coffee with friends, or date night with your husband and talk over the things that we are discussing in these episodes, because every chapter of Raising Amazing is so dear to my heart. I put a lot of thought, prayer, and intentionality into the things we covered in this book. So also, if you didn't know, if you're new around here, I have created a book study guide just for Raising Amazing. It is free. You can download it and print it out, and then you just gather some friends. Maybe you've never done a book study before. You don't know how to start. I've made the process really easy. So over in show notes, you're going to find a link to my book study guide, and I hope that's super helpful. I know a lot of people have printed that out and gathered some friends, maybe neighborhood friends, friends from, your kids' friends' parents or church group, or again, even you and your spouse can go through it together. So there's that. And I also do want to tell you, if you're watching, you can look at this. But I have these really sweet cards that Christian Parenting has available this month. Christian Parenting creates the greatest resources. I love everything they do, but these are little scripture affirmation cards. They are just really great to give to your kids, depending on things that they might be going through. And they're so well decorated. They're just darling. And they each have a scripture on them, as well as just a brief word of encouragement. Things like, when you feel guilty, God forgives you. When you need to forgive someone, with a verse, sometimes all we need to hear is, I'm sorry. God is good. When you feel sad, a verse. So they're all for just different things our kids face, different things they go through. And sometimes we don't have the words, or we don't know what to say. Sometimes kids don't necessarily want to hear from us, but we can leave a little scripture card with a word of encouragement on their pillow, in their backpack, on their desk. It's just a really sweet way to encourage them. So go over to cpgive.org and you can get a big set of these for all different occasions. Again, the letter CP is in Christian Parenting, give.org. And I think you're going to love these. And I will have a link to them in show notes as well. Okay, friends. So here we are. We are going to dive in and just cover some of the highlights from chapter 14 of Raising Amazing. I hope you've enjoyed going through this book with me. And I'm going to have a little giveaway of a couple copies of Raising Amazing over in show notes. So be sure to go over there. If you leave a comment, you'll be entered to win a copy of Raising Amazing. If you already have a copy, this is a great gift to have on hand. Mother's Day is coming up, maybe baby showers, things like that. It's a great gift. So chapter 14 is a great one. In the times we're living in, we need to talk to our kids about everything. And this chapter is titled First Tracks, subtitled Talk to Your Kids About Everything. I love the quote that I share right at the beginning. This is from William Temple, and it says, catch this, it's so good. The most influential of all educational factors is the conversation in a child's home. I'll say that one more time. The most influential of all educational factors is the conversation in a child's home. That's William Temple. I think that's so important to consider, whether your kids go to school at a traditional school setting, whether they're homeschooled, whatever their situation is, it's those conversations at home that can make such a difference in your child's life. So now I'm going to read the opening of this chapter. I love this one, and this is how I've been doing all of these end of month episodes. So here we go. Our family went on a snowboarding trip to Oregon last Christmas, and we traveled during the Pacific Northwest's first serious snowstorm of the season. The first morning we arrived at the slopes was a sight to behold. Several feet of fresh snow had fallen, and it looked like a winter wonderland. As we made our way to the top of the lift, my husband looked out over the hill with a satisfied smile. Okay, family, we get to make some of the first tracks on this slope. This was a moment none of us will ever forget. My friend and author, Carrie Kompakis, wrote a blog post about how we as parents should, quote, set the first tracks in parenting. She compared the ski slope to our child's mind. As parents, we instinctively protect their mind. We keep our kids in safe environments and guard their innocence to the best of our ability. And though this is a great instinct, we must remember that our kids will be exposed to things sooner than we tend to believe. In mere seconds, their pristine view of the world can be interrupted by a peer, a Google search, or some random event that leaves a negative mark. With this in mind, we must have the potentially uncomfortable yet important conversations with our kids preemptively. Carrie went on to say, as parents, we want to set the first tracks. We want to ski down first and impress the truth in our kids' minds so that when other skiers come behind us, our kids know which tracks to trust. Parents, it's not only part of our job, but a high calling on our part to set the first tracks for our kids. I'm a big believer in talking to our kids about, well, just about everything. As we raise kids in a culture that's antagonistic toward biblical values, this is more necessary every year. We don't want to assume our kids know or understand how to apply the values we've taught them to specific issues that come up. So we must speak to them openly, honestly and often. And I know that even as you're hearing this, you're probably thinking of some of the issues your kids have brought up, or you've overheard them maybe talking to a friend about things you know are going on in your culture, in their school, in your neighborhood. And depending on your personality, it may be easy for you to talk to them about things, and it may be difficult, challenging, awkward. Some of your kids are more chatty. They want to talk. Other kids are quieter, and you're going to have to do a little bit more nudging. This next section I do want to highlight, it says, whose opinion matters? My goal is not for my kids to embrace their parents' opinions. We are imperfect people who are likely to make mistakes and judgment errors. Instead, I want them to know and follow God's truths. He is the source of all truth, and His standards never change. Therefore, it's crucial that we teach our kids to always look at the world through the lens of the Bible. We should turn to God's Word as we discuss important topics with our children, and we should study God's Word for ourselves. The more I know the heart and character of God, the more I'll be ready to give a biblical response to issues that arise. I think that's really important, especially for those of us that are chatty. Sometimes it's easy to just kind of spout off what we think, what makes sense, something we've heard. But when our kids have questions, I really encourage you, something I'm learning more and more, to pause and think through the things I'm going to say, because there's a good chance this is going to set some of those first tracks. So I want to make sure I'm giving answers that are really truth from God's Word. Sometimes this means I go to my husband and ask him to, you know, be a part of the conversation. He has so much wisdom, but we don't want to give answers too quickly. Now, I talk here about identity. Identity is huge and something you've probably heard me talk about before. I have a whole chapter on it in my book, Boy Mom, and I knew that it was important in this process of raising amazing kids, and I decided this was a good place to talk about it because really it's something that, though it's a part of our kids' lives from the time they're little, we are all asking, who am I? What gives me value? Do I matter? But kids may not bring that up as an actual question. You might see it more in the things they're doing, in the way they're behaving. So often it's up to us as parents to bring up this topic of identity. What gives you value? Where do you get your self-worth? So we want to point our kids to the truth from God's Word. We know that this world is going to give them all kinds of labels. It's going to tell them their values dependent on how successful they are, what their grades are, how well they do in sports, how popular they are, how many likes or follows they have on social media, right? But that is not what God has to say about our kids. God tells us, all of us, that we have great value apart from our successes and failures, popularity or not. What we do today, what we did yesterday, what we're going to do tomorrow, our value is not dependent on us. It's dependent on the fact that He loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to come live a perfect life, die a sacrificial death, a death He didn't deserve, because He wants to spend eternity with us. God tells each of us that we have great value. So we want to communicate that clearly and often to our kids. So whether it comes up naturally or not, from a young age, I encourage you to talk about your kids' identity. Talk to them about the fact that they're going to go out from your home and there's going to be people that want to define them, again, based on worldly standards, and that this is something they're going to have to fight. It's going to be hard to speak enough truth to make up for all the things we're going to hear in this world, but we can do it often, and we can do it well, and we can just hope that when our kids hit those moments where they're having doubts, where they're questioning, I mean, those tween and teenage years, I've talked about the fact that my boys have told me, yeah, I was lying in bed at night thinking how I stack up. Am I cool enough? Am I important enough? Am I smart enough? And those are the moments where you just hope and pray that what you've taught them about their great value from God will rise up and they'll remember those words. And even if they still wrestle, if you've told them enough and you've told them well consistently, then they're likely to hold on to that when the rough times come. If someone had told me 18 years ago when my older sons started homeschooling that one day they would be graduating from college with degrees in engineering and data analytics, I'm not sure if I would have believed you. I wouldn't have known how they could learn all those things since those are not my areas of expertise. Well, thankfully God provided and we found some great curriculums along the way, and the curriculum that my boys would say most prepared them for their studies was the Shorman math classes found at diveintomath.com. Now, Dive Into Math offers a biblical and historical foundation in their math classes, teaching the why of learning math. They have self-paced courses and state-of-the-art e-learning systems featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading, auto-recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman, which my boys did utilize. Now, Dr. Shorman is from Texas A&M. He is well-studied, so smart, but he's moved here to the North Shore of Oahu, and we've gotten to know him well, and he is an amazing man we have so much respect for. This next year, as Levi starts high school, he'll be taking Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2, which teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. You guys, this is a great curriculum. I highly recommend if your kids are interested in college or at least you want to keep that door open, definitely go to diveintomath.com, check out all that they have to offer. Let me know what you think. Can't wait to hear from you. Well, friends, I know that many of you are in the perimenopause or menopause season of life, and those of you who aren't there yet want to know how to best prepare for it when your time comes. Well, I have good news for you. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called aptogens. And here's the beauty about aptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible perimenopause and menopause symptoms that can sometimes put a woman's life on hold. Things like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and other not pleasant symptoms. Now, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony, so you might want to check it out for yourself. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code Monica at checkout. Again, go to happymammoth.com, use code Monica for 15% off your entire first order. I hope you love it. Now, I talk next in here about gender and sexuality, and just how I don't need to tell any of you that the culture we're raising our kids in now, this is kind of the topic of this generation, right? I know there's always been issues of sexuality, but in today's culture, this is the topic of the day, I think it's fair to say. And so this is something we need to set the first tracks in. We need to talk to our kids. We need to be the authority, which means we can't be afraid or act embarrassed or awkward. Even if we are, we need to tell them that they can come to us and that we are comfortable having these conversations. So I'm so thankful to have the authority of the Bible to give us an unchanging understanding of God's view of gender and sexuality. And though the world makes it complicated, it doesn't have to be. We can begin conversations with our kids at a young age, looking at the book of Genesis in the Bible, where we're told that God created man and woman. And we know that marriage between one man and one woman is for a lifetime. It was God's idea. Sex was God's idea, a blessing useful for procreation and to bond a man and woman in a unique and special way in marriage that represents the relationship between Christ and the church. It's all beautiful stuff. So we don't want our kids to think that we are uncomfortable or that this topic is taboo. No, we want to teach them the truth, to celebrate the truth, to model the best we can. For those of you who are married, model a great relationship with your spouse so that they grow up really aiming to have what you have, hoping to one day find a spouse that they will love and be committed to for a lifetime. And this is a big topic, too big for just a part of a chapter of a book. And certainly beyond, you know, my expertise, this isn't something that I would claim to be an expert on, but I have raised my kids having conversations that were not easy, but that were honest and that were loving. We want our kids to be, to hold on all at once to both love and truth. You can't just have love without truth. You can't have truth without love. We need to hold both together and to approach those in our lives. We know, we will all know people who have different beliefs and different values in the area of gender and sexuality. We want to respect all people, love all people, but we also don't want to compromise what God has to say about this. So I hope you're encouraged by what you read in this section. This leads us well to the topic of pornography. And you've probably heard me say, if you've been around, I've got some blog posts as well. In fact, I'll link to a few of those over in the show notes. But we want to make sure to tell our kids about pornography before they stumble upon it. Because no doubt in one form or another, they will stumble upon it. They will learn about it. They will probably see it. And so let's speak truth. Let's set the first tracks so that they know what it is that's out there that is unfortunately so accepted and common and yet highly addictive and so destructive, so destructive. I personally know families that have been ripped apart. I'm sure you do too. So make sure to talk to your kids about pornography. The one book I've used with my kids and I've recommended many times for younger kids is Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. That's been real helpful for me. It kind of gives you that conversation starter so that you don't have to bring up this topic on your own. But it kind of talks about what pornography is. It even has some diagrams about how it affects the brain. I actually learned quite a bit. It was really well done, keeping it simple but compelling. And then it gives kids an action plan, what to do if and when they see those bad pictures. So I'll link to that book over in show notes. I highly recommend. They have Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior for kind of the real early elementary, kind of kindergarten, elementary years, and then the original Good Pictures, Bad Pictures for later elementary, all the way through middle school. I believe one of my boys was in high school when I first got it, and I was like, sit down, we're all going to read it anyways, because again, it's a great conversation starter. I have a section in here on relationships, dating, and marriage. Recently, we had JP Pakluta on the podcast. I'll link to that in show notes. I need to make sure to link to all these places that I'm telling you I'll link to. But that's a really helpful one. And partly because I actually share a story that JP Pakluta shares in his book, Outdated, in this chapter. So it's even better if you can just go back and make sure you caught that episode. It was really good. But certainly our world has a very confused, mixed up view of dating, of relationships. They're getting a whole lot backwards, and we shouldn't be surprised when we see broken marriages, when we see so many hard things in families because so many people are going about it so wrong. God has a great design. He, again, loves marriage and loves family, but we want to start out right. So if we can set the first tracks, if we can help our kids have a beautiful view of dating and marriage, and I think that this starts in conversations in the home. I've said before, my boys didn't date in high school. And I think there's a few reasons why. We live out in the country. They were in an all-boy home. They were homeschooled. They did have a lot of friends. They went to youth group. They surfed. I mean, there's a whole culture here on the North Shore. It's not like they were raised in a closet. They certainly were out and about doing things. But our expectation, the way we spoke about marriage and dating, it just wasn't something that was elevated or highlighted. Instead, they looked forward to the day that they would find a spouse and get married and have a family. And to this day, that's how they all look at dating and marriage. And so when they meet somebody that they're interested in, it's really more of a friendship that they want to pursue to figure out if this is somebody that they would like to consider a relationship with that would lead to marriage. Not dating for fun and like just something to kill time. No. So thus far, my boys are approaching it that way and it's been so healthy. They have no baggage. So again, there's a whole bunch in here about relationships, dating, and marriage, but I hope that's encouraging to you. As you raise your kids, you don't have to do things like the culture does. You know, you don't have to look like those around you. There are a lot of Christian kids out there who are making really good choices. You want to find those. You want to point your kids to the ones who are doing it right, who are setting a good example. We don't have to compromise. We don't have to accept like that our kids are going to do things just like the world. No. if you are a Christian raising up kids, you want to do things different. You should look different, and that's okay. Don't apologize for that. Be proud of it. You're doing things God's way. Going to honor him and please him, and that's what's most important. All right, I even tackle culture, politics, and so on, which means there's a lot. And even as I worked on this book, there were so many things happening in our country racially. Politics have gone mad. None of this is news to you, but the question is, are you talking to your kids about it? Are you teaching them? Are you setting the first tracks for how to look at all these things? Do we follow somebody politically just because they're of a certain party, or our friends do, or we think we should? Are we looking through a biblical lens and saying the reason I vote for this person isn't necessarily their personality or that they're perfect? Certainly no politician is perfect, but are we coming back to the things that matter most? For my family, that's things like the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, the values that I think are important to God. There's, of course, many others, and I'm not a political podcaster, so I'm not going to try to tackle them here, but I will say we really try to return to the most important things and talk to our kids about it. And when they have questions or they disagree, excellent. Let's have a good conversation. Let's even open the Bible and see what God's word says about that and kind of help guide them in how to think. That doesn't mean we're brainwashing them. That means we're having really good conversations. And we use books, which I've mentioned before, like The Fallacy Detective and The Thinking Toolbox, two great books for teaching kids to be critical thinkers. I'll link to those as well in the show notes. Those are so great, especially for middle school and high school age kids. Well, I'd say, yeah, late elementary through high school, helping them understand critical thinking and anything you can do with your kids to help them develop a biblical worldview is going to be excellent. But talk to them. Don't assume that they know. Don't assume that they can figure this stuff out. Have the conversations in the home. I also talk about the future and how, whether or not they tell us, kids are oftentimes thinking about the future. Sometimes they're stressed about it. Sometimes they're worried. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. When they're little, they love it. They love to dream and think about all the possibilities, but then sometimes they get a little older and it's a little more stressful. So talk about the future. If you get to read my book, Becoming Homeschoolers, I talk about how before high school, if possible, you want to start talking about their goals and dreams. Whether they're homeschooled or they go to any kind of school, they want to start thinking about what they want to do after school, their freshman year, before their freshman year, because it's going to make a difference in how they approach those classes, their extracurriculars, their sports. These things really start to matter, and not in a way that you want to stress them out or pressure them. But if they have goals, if they have hopes and dreams of going to college, going into the military, getting a certain job, you want to reverse engineer and figure out what your high school years should look like. So having good conversations, get excited about their future. God has a purpose and a plan for our kids. We want to teach them that from his word. We don't want them to be fearful. We want them to be excited, but we also need to be intentional about preparing, right? So I think it's fair enough here to end this by reading there is a closing chapter after this that I am not going to read. It's a final note from me, and you can all read that if you have a copy of the book or hear it if you have the Audible version of the book. But I will close this conversation by just reading the final little paragraph here titled Talk About Amazing, and then I'll say a prayer for all of us at the end. It says, what a wonderful opportunity we have to bring up kids who are critical thinkers, know God's truth, and aren't afraid to stand for what's right. But don't wait to address all these and then have to correct confusing theology or cultural craziness. Step in and talk to your kids about all the things before they become things. Ask them questions and listen to their answers. Then together, search scripture for God's heart on any topic that comes up. Set the first tracks now, and then watch your kids soar down the hill, secure and free to live in the truth and navigate life well. All right. There's a word to the dads in here, of course. And then my son Josiah wraps up with his final thoughts. Chapter 15 is where amazing begins and ends. It's a final note from me. And I share Luke 9:43 that says, "And they were all amazed at the greatness of God." And truly, my friends, we've talked about the word amazing before, which I define it for this book as a pleasant surprise or something that causes wonder. And I really do believe that God is so good to give us these kids, that God is so good that He has blessed us with children, and they are all amazing because they're made in the image of our amazing God. So they are by nature amazing, and it's our privilege and responsibility to raise those amazing kids, right? And if we can raise kids who bring glory to God, whether it's because they are faithful servants who just love Him, follow Him in the humble everyday things of life, which to me is about as amazing as it gets, or whether they end up doing something significant in the world's eyes, inventing something, solving a problem, winning a prize, making an impact on the world, let's raise kids who will turn and point people who are watching to the amazing God that has made it possible. So all that happens through conversations in your home. Doesn't have to be all day long, but look for those opportunities around the dinner table, at bedtime. If you're homeschooling, you do have a lot of opportunities throughout the day. Don't let those moments pass. Sometimes we can be so busy that even when we have kids around us all day, we don't even connect. I know I've been guilty of that. So I'm trying to look for those moments to connect, to speak some truth, to speak a word of encouragement, to ask a question. But it's such a privilege to raise these amazing kids. So this wraps up the whole book of Raising Amazing, 1 month at a time highlights. I hope you can read the book in full, maybe listen to it on Audible. I hope you can get that free download book study guide. Go through the book with a friend. I don't think you can go through it too much. I mean, this might be something to revisit every couple of years as your kids go through different stages and seasons. But now, as we wrap up this episode, I will pray. So if you want to join me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, God, that you're the giver of all good gifts, and our children are such a good gift, that it's such an honor to raise these kids up. And Lord, we feel so inadequate often. I know I do. And I think so quickly of all the ways I'm blowing it, missing opportunities, not being a good example. So God, for all of those things, we ask forgiveness. We ask for your grace to cover our mistakes and our humanity. But we also ask for your strength to do better, to parent well, to love our kids the way you love us. So give us strength, give us grace, help us to move forward, making good choices. And God, as we open up these conversations with our kids, as we set these first tracks, please give us wisdom. Let it be your truth and your wisdom that we share, not our own thoughts, not our own opinions. God, let us be wise to point kids to your word, to teach them to compare everything to truth from your word. Help us to do that well, Lord. And I pray that everyone listening would seek out a community that might help them in that, a good Bible-believing church. God, help listeners to find the support that they need in friends, family, maybe somebody to go through this book with. But God, we need each other. So I thank you for the listeners. Thank you that this podcast is here to encourage and support everyone. And I pray now as we close that there just be a real encouragement that everyone who listens would wrap this up and go just love on their kids, trust you more, depend on you more, receive your grace and mercy, and just really get excited about raising their amazing kids to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, thanks so much for being here. Lots of links mentioned, so go over to show notes, grab all those links, and this wraps up this book. But of course, we've got another book coming very soon. May 7th, my next book, Becoming Homeschoolers, will be releasing. And though I probably won't walk through it like I did this chapter by chapter, we'll have some good conversations about homeschooling. And my launch team will be kicking off very soon. So if you have not signed up to be a part of that yet, whether you homeschool or not, doesn't matter. You're all welcome. It's going to be a party, going to be a lot of giveaways, going to be a lot of fun. All we ask is that you read the book in advance and join some conversations in a private Facebook group. So definitely check out show notes so you can be a part of that launch team. All right. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for spreading the word about this podcast. It means so much to me. I just love you guys. Appreciate you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.